Fort Smith. Broadcasting live from the Toyota studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
hitthatline.com.
I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush here on this beautiful Friday morning. Appreciate everybody listening in. This beautiful day in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Nick Mason, Tommy Kraft. Thank you for making us a part of your day today. We're going to have a lot of things to get to. We're going to be talking about the Arkansas and Florida series this weekend as Andrew Spivey of Gator Country will join us around 7:35. We'll also talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament. And when I mean a little bit, I mean a lot, because there was a lot of storylines going into it yesterday. We'll get into some question of the day, some nonsense. We got it all going on right here on a Fastball Friday presented by Harry Robinson Buick GMC.
Yeah, and on top of all of that, we're live in Branson at the Branson Coaster. We'll be telling you about that and one of the most enjoyable, fun, family-filled attractions you can find in Branson here on your spring break weekend. So get you buckled up and ready for a wild ride here at the Branson Coaster, boys.
Oh, man. Have you ridden it yet?
Or I did yesterday.
Okay.
We may or may not share a video of it, but the best way I can describe it is it's like riding on a sled, or a go-kart. Probably it's like riding a go-kart down a railed alpine type, like you were bobsledding on a go-kart. Is, I don't know what speed you get up to, but I'm going to guess close to 40 miles an hour. Is it faster than that? Maybe faster than that, but it's a lot of fun. And it's safe, but you go around some of these bank curves and stuff, and you wonder for just that moment. It's like riding a really good roller coaster. You wonder for just a moment, is this thing going to hold? Is it going to take this curve, or is this going to be the end of me?
Well, if the video has you screaming like a girl while you're going down it, then we have to share it. I don't know.
That may be why we – no. Might be why we don't share it today.
But yeah.
No, me and my daughter, my six-year-old daughter rode it yesterday, had a blast. We get some other attractions here they got in Branson we're going to tell you about down on the landing that Face Amusement, who owns and operates the Branson Coaster, has several attractions in Branson. So – I guarantee you there's old dad's loading up the family truckster here this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Getting ready to take the family to Branson for the weekend. So we're going to give you some things to do while you're in Branson this weekend throughout the show.
No doubt about it. Let's talk about the NCAA tournament. We had four games last night, and half of the Elite Eight has been set. And the game that I want to dive into because of the storyline behind it and kind of going off of what we talked about yesterday, Kentucky – who apparently we talked about as having the easy road, the easy path to the Final Four, loses to Kansas State by a final of 61-58, a very low-scoring affair, a game that had over 50 fouls. So you can imagine, if you weren't able to watch it, exactly how that game transpired and what it looked like. It was pretty ugly. But in the end, Kansas State was able to get the victory. And I don't know what it is, but I don't think that there's any other team that I enjoy watching lose more than Kentucky basketball. Seeing Ashley Judd with her sad face up in the stands, seeing all the Kentucky fans in this quote-unquote Catlanta that they weren't able to pull it off, and it's just, man. And to Kansas State, which I think Kansas State and, of course, is it Bruce Weber?
Yeah.
He's the coach?
Yes,
yeah. He was, I mean, they're a pretty decent team, decent program, but for Kentucky to lose in that way, I guess his team drank the poison. That's the only thing I can think of. They were unable to beat a Kansas State team that honestly wasn't that great, but pretty good.
Well, and don't get me wrong, Kentucky played much better basketball towards the end of the season, but this Kentucky team wasn't that good either.
Not compared to his other ones.
Right,
for sure.
Right. This is a team that struggled throughout the year, even in the games that they won. They struggled to win. They didn't really have an identity. I felt like their best player changed about 10 times during the year. They went with a bunch of different starting lineups. They had guys that were hurt. A lot of guys probably already have their minds and sights on the NBA. So this isn't a great Kentucky team, and I'm just happy that Kentucky didn't win a national championship the year that they were, quote-unquote, down, because yeah, that's the last thing that you want is a Kentucky team that's perceived to be down going out there winning a national championship on their down year. Because, and I've seen the tweets. I've seen Kentucky fans tweeting towards Arkansas fans and Arkansas fans tweeting back, and Kentucky going, okay, so this is our down year, and we're in the Sweet 16, and you guys got beat by 20 in the first round to Butler on a good year. And so just kind of showing the different levels and how much more work the Razorbacks have to actually do.
Well, I also want to throw in the question, which is a tough one, because if you're an Arkansas fan and relating to this, maybe a little bit of a difficult one. But at what point in time does Calipari and people start viewing him, whether it's Kentucky fans or whatever, as saying, okay, at what point in time are you going to win another title? Yeah. Year in and year out, you have the most NBA talent far and away, your entire starting lineup, and in a lot of cases, even a few of your bench players, are first-round picks. You recruit that way. That's the way you want to build. That's the way that you've been able to have so much success. But at what point in time do you overcome that and say, you know what, we're the best team and we win the titles? Because I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Kentucky fans, they care about the banners being hung in their arenas more so than how many players are drafted in the NBA.
That's all they care about.
Yeah, that's all they care about. So at what point in time is people going to start saying Calipari and putting him out and making him responsible, saying, hey.
That and bourbon. They care about that and bourbon. That's all they care about is Kentucky fans.
That's right. And so at what point are they going to say, you know what, hey, you know, piss or get off the pot, man. You got to win some titles here.
And does this system work? I mean, and Nick, you start jumping in here when I get way off the rails. But follow me here. I mean, yeah, everything you just said is right, John. They have a lot of players that get drafted very high. But these players are drafted on what? Potential. It's not on what anything. It's not a lot about what they've done in college basketball, because, hell, they've played 33 games or whatever of college basketball. So they're being drafted on potential. The old man on the Kentucky team is what? A sophomore, right?
Yeah.
So, and how many times have we seen this Kentucky team follow this same script? Bunch of freshmen, talented players, you know, guys that are all, you know, all of them McDonald's All-Americans, the entire starting, all of these accolades. But they're young players trying to mature into adults as people and as players and all these, and they're not built to win the NCAA tournament. These teams that are having success have second, third, fourth year players that have been here, have a few battle scars, have a few scrapes, and get through it. Nick, at what point do you have to say, and I don't know how you ever turn your back on the idea of getting the very best high school players in America to come to your school, because that's a winning plan, but that winning plan's not winning championships.
Well, and it's tough. It's tough to say that the formula doesn't work, because there's only one team in the country that uses it. And if you
Duke's
go,
using it a little bit.
Well, yeah, but now
not
Duke
to the extent Cal is
has a lot of what you're talking about, because Duke goes out and they get the very best players, but then they'll have
Brees and Allen.
But damn it, at Duke, you got to know how to spell your name to get in there. Kentucky, they'll let anybody in.
Right, right. And so, but if you're just looking and Cal has won one championship at Kentucky. He's been in Kentucky for how long? 7 years? 8 years?
No, it's has it been
six?
I think it's I know it's been longer than that, because he started in Pelfrey second to last year. So my goodness, that's been 08.
Mike's been here seven, right? So
08, 09?
Yeah.
I can look it up.
Okay, so but in the 9 years, how many coaches have been repeat champions? Two? Has North Carolina won two and Duke's won two, or North Carolina's won one and Duke has won two?
I think it's been – see, you're asking me questions,
right,
and put me on the spot.
Okay, but no. So,
I know those teams have won,
right,
for sure.
So I'm saying that to say who's to say it doesn't work whenever there's only been one other team that's won a national championship in the same time span that you've been at Kentucky doing it the way that you've been doing it? I think that it's easy for us to say it doesn't work because nobody else in the country does it. So now you're basically saying, okay, well, are you going to take Kentucky or are you going to take the field every year if that's what you're trying to do is win a national championship? I'll say this. Kentucky is closer to winning national championships year in and year out with Cal than they will be with anybody else because this is not a university that they can just go hire anybody and bring them in. They're going to be able to win because we just saw that that does not work. We just saw right before Cal got there that they just went out and hired anybody and they were not winning games. They weren't hanging even SEC banners. So to say it doesn't work, I think it works, but it's just really hard to win a national championship because as we see, one, maybe two coaches have been the only two guys that have been repeat champions in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and well, it's just like I'm looking at, you know, looking at comparisons and looking at expectations for Kentucky, which I agree with you. I mean, it's not like I'm saying Calipari needs to be fired or that Kentucky fans should be fired. I mean, there's no question about it. He's one of the more successful coaches in college basketball right now. He moves the needle. He gets attention. He gets players. He does all of that. But, you know, it's like, why is Alabama that as good and as looked at as everything? And Nick Saban, why is everyone revering him as the best coach? Not only does he get the best talent, but he translates it into championships. And I get it that winning the NCAA tournament is one of the hardest things to do. You never know what teams get hot. You only have one chance. And if you have one bad game, that's all she wrote. But you're looking at it right now where John Calipari is basically doing, in a lot of ways, what Tubby Smith was doing as far as success on the court. Making it to the tournament every year, getting to the Sweet 16s, getting to the Elite Eights, getting to a Final Four here or there. And I just, it feels weird for me to say that. That's like Tubby Smith and John Calipari, if you compare their resumes, they're not the same coach. But the amount of banners that they're hanging is right about the same. So how many years is it going to take for Kentucky fans to say, is it going to be year 15 when they still haven't won a title where they're like, what gives? Why are we not winning? We have the best talent. We have the facilities, the tradition, the fans, everything. What's keeping us from winning? You know, even that year when they went undefeated into the Final Four, that team was so stupid loaded, and they couldn't win that. So at what point in time do fans just say, enough's enough?
When did they get tired of celebrating NBA drafts instead of NCAA championships?
Exactly.
Well, especially because
that's all they got to celebrate right now is the draft.
Cal is very vocal about the reason he's there. He wants to turn 18 and 19-year-olds into instant millionaires.
That's just recruiting talk, Nick.
Right.
He doesn't really care about that. That's
right.
Recruiting talk.
Well, no. So I actually, he really does not care about winning national championships.
Is that not a problem,
like,
though?
That's really, and even once he gets the kids on campus, he's still all about, hey, you guys need to be pros. I need to put you in the best spot to succeed. I'm going to do a little bit of this. And he actually will hold guys back, or not even hold guys back. He'll do things that don't help him necessarily become a great college team, but allow individuals to get ready for the next level. And I'm saying that to add on to your point, regardless if he means it or not, when the fans are hearing, so you don't care about winning national championships, you just want to put these guys in the NBA as first rounders and lottery picks and help them to make millions, regardless if that's true or not, when you say that so many times over and over, people start to get upset.
Yeah. Well, and Could you imagine if Mike Anderson said,
so let's say that Daniel Gafford comes out on Monday or Tuesday and says, I'm leaving to go to the NBA. And Mike Anderson comes out and says, you know what? I'm not here to win any games. I don't care as much about winning games. I like the fact that I put Bobby Portis and Daniel Gafford in the NBA. You know what fans would do if he actually came out and said that?
Oh, they tar and feather him. I mean, they because that would show that it's like, yeah, that's the thing that fans care about. Listen, getting to the NBA is great. Getting drafted is great, and it's great for the program. It's great for the kids, and every fan wants to see that. But when the bottom line is winning national championships. I want to continue this topic, though. It's a good one, and we're going to discuss it throughout the show. But first, this from Williams Tractor.
Yeah, being equipped for tomorrow starts today. Buy now and save on the New Holland equipment you need. Williams Tractor in Fayetteville. Tractors, hay, and harvesting equipment. You can stop in Fayetteville or in Rogers to get this limited-time offer. It's all at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers. We're live at the Branson Coaster. We're going to tell you more, guys, about this. You can zoom, race, slide downhill in a way you never have experienced before. This is an awesome double alpine coaster. Toby's going to stop in. He's the manager here. This is a new attraction that opened last July. And, guys, we'll tell you more about it coming up here live from the Strip in Branson at the Branson Coaster here on the Morning Rush on this Friday.
And 95.3. On air and streaming now on HitThatLine.com. This is the Morning Rush.
It certainly is the Morning Rush, and appreciate everybody tuning in this morning, making all of us a part of your day today. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. This is a Fastball Friday presented by Harry Robinson Buick GMC.
Yeah, 2018 Buick Encores, best price they've ever had. General Motors has really made March fabulous, and you can buy a brand new 2018 Buick Encore, $14,980. That's the lowest price. We've made a big deal out of those being under 20 grand. How about under 15 grand? And there's only a couple of those left at that price, but they've got a lot at, you know, very low prices right now on the Buick Encore. So you want to get over there and get those. No need to drive north. No need to drive an hour or more away. The best deals are at Harry Robinson Buick GMC, the time dealer of the year in the state of Arkansas. Harry Robinson Buick GMC, exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith.
I got to ask this question, though. The SEC had 8 teams in the NCAA tournament this year. The SEC was viewed as being a very competitive, a very solid conference overall, comparatively speaking to the other conferences in the country, but yet they will have 0 Elite 8 teams. So it's kind of going along the lines of what a lot of people were saying, where the SEC, yeah, it was a good conference, but there were no elite teams. There were no high-end teams. And it's almost kind of like a disappointment, too, when you think about getting, you get 8 teams into the tournament. You had some teams that had some upside, but yet couldn't advance far enough in the tournament to at least have a vested interest for SEC fans.
My only problem with that take is, so if Kentucky wins and they're in the Elite Eight, then, oh, okay, the SEC had a high-end team, even though Kentucky didn't play anybody to get to the Elite Eight. It's very difficult, but this is what is the beauty of March Madness. People say they put all their stock in March Madness, but that's not true, because if that was true, then we'd have people getting fired when a 16 beats a 1 in the first round. March Madness is very important, but to me, especially for those of us that are SEC football fans, because here's the narrative that we push on there. If the SEC has a bad bowl record, what do we say? Well, it's one game. You can't take an entire season and then base it up on one game. Hey, I agree. That's perfectly fine. But then when you get to March Madness, if you win one game at the end, and if you're keeping it in perspective of basketball team plays 30 games, so 2 or 3 more games, and basketball is similar to the football team playing 12 games and having one extra game. So it's just tough for me to base – to allow the NCAA tournament to validate an entire league, especially because there are upsets that happen. There are things that happen. Like, Kentucky could have moonwalked to the national championship and not played anything higher than an 8 seed or a 10 seed or whatever the case may be. And so I just have a tough time jumping on board with that, especially because I'm looking at Kentucky. Kentucky wasn't an elite team. They got a good draw, or they got a bad draw, but then everybody that would have been in their way, they all got upset before they could even play Kentucky. And I'm not just going to go out there and say, okay, well, had Kentucky have won, had Kentucky beat Kansas State, now they're an elite team and it makes the SEC look better. And this is why I've always said the league was not as good as people thought this year, but in years past, the league wasn't as bad as people thought. It was somewhere in the middle.
But this is the best the league has been that, 5 years, 10 years. I mean, I don't know how far to go back, but when you get 8 teams in, the league was definitely the best it's been in a long time. I don't think there's any arguing that.
So now I'll still argue that. It's perception and going into something. When you're going into the year and they rank, you look at a team like Texas A&M. The main reason Texas A&M made it to the NCAA tournament is because they started top 5 in the country. The main reason Florida made it to the NCAA tournament, and they were a six seed because they started top five or top 10 in the country. A lot of this stuff has to do with the way the media and the way people perceive your conference in the offseason, because in the offseason is when they start, okay, let's rank all these teams. Well, then in your non-conference, you're like, nobody in your league is playing any more than three or four tough games. So now whenever you get to a conference with that ranking that they gave you in the offseason, projecting what they think you could do, and then 70% of your games were against inferior opponents, once you get to your conference with that ranking and once you get to your conference with that perception and all of that, then it's a lot easier because now whenever you're beating up on each other inside the league, you turn into the ACC. That's why the ACC gets 12 teams in every year, because at the beginning of the year, we say, ooh, all these teams are top 10 teams. They got eight teams in the top 10 and all that other good jazz. And then once conference play starts and you have three or four losses in and four or five games, people just say, well, yeah, they're losing, but they're losing to all top 10 teams. When in reality, if we waited and actually watched all of the games, which this will never happen, but if we did it similar to how the college football playoff is, and we wait and we watch a whole bunch of basketball, a whole bunch of games, then we start throwing out there like, okay, I think Florida is this and Florida is that. Could you imagine had we awaited to a conference to throw out rankings? Then I guarantee you the SEC wouldn't have got eight teams in.
But rankings don't matter in basketball, really? Do they really matter? It's RPI.
They say they don't. Yeah, in which it's RPI and it's a bunch of other things, but
it mattered to Oklahoma, because if it wasn't for them being ranked and being talked about and all that, they probably wouldn't have gotten into the NCAA tournament.
But how much does the committee value rankings in their evaluation in selecting the teams?
I
read and hear, I don't think they put a lot of stock in rankings. I mean, more RPI type stuff, a lot more other metrics, advanced metrics.
Right. There's only been, one team in the last 10 years or one team in the last 8 years that was ranked in the top 25 that didn't make it to the NCAA tournament. And that was SMU a handful of years ago.
Which they probably still should have made it to the tournament that year, because a lot of people felt like they were kind of jabbed in that. But the thing is if you're talking about specifically the SEC, it's like, okay, so what metric do you use, or is there one, how good a conference is?
Yeah.
Because if you can't use the tournament wins and how far those teams advance, if you can't use necessarily the rankings, you can't necessarily use the teams they beat in the non-conference, I mean, how can you determine exactly how good a conference is?
Yeah, I think you have to. Now, there's no set way. This isn't like that great list that you came out with ESPN the other day that had Tiger Woods.
At
number one. There's no set way to do it. I think you just have to ball everything up, and you have to watch the games. The biggest reason why we know the SEC in football is better than other conferences, look at how they're moving. I mean, if you're watching the games and you're seeing they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. They throw further, they hit harder, they run faster, they catch more passes. I mean, that's just how it is. And if you can't watch your TV and tell that Alabama is really, really good and that Georgia is really, really good and that Auburn is really good and LSU on a down year is still better than a lot of Big 12 teams, if you can't watch those Big 12 teams and watch the SEC teams and tell, then there's something wrong with you. I think you put all of it in one. I think you can throw the bowl games in just like you can throw the NCAA tournament in. I think you can throw the regular season in. I think you can throw the non-conference in. And I think you have to watch. And I think you ball all that up in one, and then you kind of take a step back and go, okay, now what's the best conference? But just to put it on, oh, well, if the ACC ends up with two teams in the national championship, that was the best conference this year, I'm just not buying that.
Yeah, but no one's arguing the SEC was the best conference this year. I mean, who's making that argument?
I'm just saying,
one's saying that conference. The SEC has Correct. Now risen to the mountaintop of college basketball. All I think anybody like us or anybody else with reasonable thought is saying is it's better than it's been. That, you know, this league is now a top five conference. I couldn't sit here and legitimately even try to make the argument it's as good as the ACC. I mean, there's no way, but I do think that this is a top five league this season. I don't know if it's a top five league right now. We'll see if they can put another season like this together. It appears this conference is on the right track, though, guys. the right coaches are being hired. These coaches are getting better players. And I think that's putting a better product on the floor. That's what's changed.
Yeah, and I think that the coaches that are coaching these teams in the SEC, I don't know if it's maybe perception or whatever, but you know, you're not having Tony Barbie at Auburn.
I mean, that's the point. You're getting household name type coaches that are getting 4 and 5 star talents to come to these schools. Whereas 5 or 6 years ago, you couldn't get the top shelf players. Predominantly, you were getting the leftovers from what the other leagues, because the argument was, well, if you go to the SEC, you're not going to be the big man on campus. If you go to the SEC, basketball is always going to be in the shadow of a football program, no matter which campus you're going to. And somehow and I don't think that was ever reality, but that was the perception. And now that's all kind of changed when you've made the investment in the coaches that this conference has made.
I just want to see what these teams will do. Because let's be honest, Kentucky and Calipari are always going to be the creme de la creme of the conference. But I'm interested to see if these teams like Tennessee or Auburn or South Carolina or any of these teams that have made some major strides here in the past few years, if they can keep it going, if they can actually have a sustainable, successful program. They'll never get to Kentucky level. They'll never be a blue blood. But can they just be one of those programs that's in the SEC that it's like every single year you can say, all right, this team may suck, this team may suck, this team may suck, but we can count on this team to be good. We can count on this team to make it to the tournament, maybe make some noise, because right now Kentucky is still the only team that you can count on in this conference. Maybe some of these teams can get to that point. Maybe. But that's yet to be determined. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Before we do, though, got to tell you about Sassy's Red House, some of the best barbecue you will get in Northwest Arkansas. 2 locations on College and on Weddington. The weather is warmed up. I actually felt justified in wearing shorts this morning when I woke up. I had my window open, even though I forgot to close it, but it didn't matter because it wasn't that cold. So now that it's finally starting to warm up, go out to Sassy's, check out the patio, check out the sports they got on television. You can watch the Razorback baseball game over there. The NCAA tournament will be on. They'll have everything taken care of for you there with a great atmosphere, a great time, and some great food. Be sure to stop by Sassy's in Fayetteville on College or on Weddington. Coming up next, Johnny Manziel and comeback season. Is he going to actually make a comeback, or is it all just a big, fat performance? We'll get to that and more. This is The Morning Rush.